verse number 26 of Nehemiah chapter number 3. Moreover, the Nethinims dwelt in Ophel unto the place over against the water gate toward the east and the tower that lieth out. We're going to speak this evening on the water gate. How many of you know about Watergate? Huh? I like to study presidential politics and presidents and history, and you have to be careful where you go to study on the Watergate, because you might not find the Watergate that Nehemiah here is talking about. But this is a Watergate here on the wall in Jerusalem. Nehemiah is rebuilding and restoring. And why are we looking verse by verse as we study through the book of Nehemiah? The reason why is we saw where God's judgment comes to His people when they sinned. And as we're looking through and taking the time to deal with each of these gates, we're looking specifically at how we could see these gates and then apply these things to our own life. We're not just studying for information. We're studying the book of Nehemiah for application to our life. And so we come to this place in verse number 26. We find where the city of David is, this once great Jerusalem is burned and the gates or walls, they're no longer protecting the city. Now there's something interesting that I want us to see as we begin our study this evening. Previously, if you were to look at the gates that last couple weeks that we've studied, we'd find where we come to the gate, and the Bible says that they repaired this gate. They repaired the locks, they repaired the walls, they repaired the bars, and in every aspect of these gates, we find where we come to the gate, and they say these gates were repaired. But something interesting here, I want you to see in this gate, the Bible doesn't tell us that it was repaired in any way. It's not the same as the other gates before, previously to the water gate. We simply come to this gate and we find that these others were repaired, and then we just find that this gate was mentioned here, but it doesn't tell us of any repair that was made. It tells us where it's at, it tells us who dwelt near there, but it just simply tells us this water gate toward the east, the tower that lieth out. We've looked at previously, last several weeks, we've looked at each of these gates and we've made application. And the reality is, a lot of these gates that we've looked at sin in our life or pride in our life. And we look at these gates and we say, boy, we get beat up every single week as we study one of these gates, making sure that our life is what it needs to be, and in getting rid of sin and pride and those things in our life, so that as we studied last week, so that God can do in our life what He desires. And we studied the Holy Spirit this past week. Many people find themselves like Israel found themselves here in Nehemiah. They're discouraged. They're bogged down. They're defeated by sin. Choices that have been made in life have not been pleasing the Lord, and they find themselves feeling trapped in life, needing places and things repaired, feeling lost or discouraged or defeated. You ever in life felt discouraged? Has anyone ever felt discouraged, defeated, hopeless? Sin does have consequences. Maybe there are some even in here this evening, and you realize some decisions you've made, some choices you've made, that sin has consequences. I would say that probably everyone in this room, if they could go back and make some changes and make some different decisions in their life, there's probably most, if not all, would say there are some decisions that I would like to do over again because of the consequences that came with those wrong decisions, those sinful decisions. Sin has consequences. Sin leaves scars. But you know, even though sin has consequences, we can know this, that God forgives. God forgives. Sin has scars, and God can heal. Sin costs more than we want to pay, but we can find forgiveness for sin. And oftentimes, Christian, if we're not careful, we can get so feeling guilty about sin and in our past and decisions we made that it keeps us and hinders us from moving forward. Because every time we try to do something for the Lord, our past reminds us of decisions that have been made. And I want to encourage us this evening. This evening is going to be a very encouraging message. How many of you came to church tonight needing to be encouraged? All right, so don't fall asleep on me. Someone told me this evening, Pastor, good thing the sofas in the lobby aren't in the church because I'd be falling asleep. Don't fall asleep this evening. I want to encourage you. I want to help you tonight. I want us to leave here encouraged. And so I want to look at this Watergate. Many have turned from God. They found themselves in need of God's help. And as we've seen in the book of Nehemiah, God, He must judge sin. He's going to judge sin. But He also is going to offer healing when we humble ourselves and ask for His forgiveness. Sin causes damage to one's life. It causes damage in a relationship with God, and it must be restored. In chapter 3 of Nehemiah, we've spent a lot of time in chapter 3, but this chapter gives us an inside look at this process of rebuilding. We come almost to the end of Nehemiah, and we find this gate, the water gate. I want to get right into, I'm going to skip some things that I have down just for sake of time, and I want to get right into some thoughts here. In Psalm 119, verse number 9, would you turn there with me? Psalm 119, verse number 9, just a couple books over, Psalm 119. We're going to go to a few different passages of Scripture here, so make sure you leave your Bible, leave your place here, and as we go through different passages, if you need to take notes, if you don't want to turn there, just take notes and you can look at these verses here on your own as well. The Bible says this in verse number 9 of Psalm 119. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Asking this question. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. One is cleansed by water. When my son, I tease my son often. My wife would never let my son, when he was real young, she just never let him get dirty. And I would say to her, you gotta let him get dirty. He's a boy. And, we would just kind of kid back and forth about that. She liked to put him in nice clothes and never wanted the clothes to get dirty. And the reality is everybody gets dirty. I told her, I said, listen, he's going to be a junior high boy sooner or later, and whether you're clean or not, he's still going to smell. So let's get him used to taking baths now and keep him clean. He's going to get dirty. The reality is this, dirt can be cleaned by water. You go to a restroom and it says this, employees must what? Wash hands. Clean. Water is there to clean. This gate, the water gate, has no need to repair. Water is generally a type of the Word of God. And we're going to see that and go to the New Testament some here this evening. But as you study and you see water, generally you would find in the Bible, it's a type of the Word of God. The Word of God is needed for cleansing, is it not? A person that's a sinner, you know, it's not about just turning over a new leaf, and it's not about just trying a different path or making different decisions. What cleanses a sinner is the Word of God. It cleans. As we study the Word of God, it pours things in our life, and it helps us determine what's right and what's wrong. It cleans us, and it's a filter in our life. And we find often in the Bible, we see that water is generally a type of the Word of God. The Word of God is perfect, and the Word of God is true. The Word of God is what's needed in each of our lives. As repairs are needed, we need the Word of God. Christian, we need the Word of God in our life. We need to read it. We need to study it. We need to obey it. We need to live it. The Word of God is vitally important in the life of a Christian. 1 Peter 1:23 tells us that the Word of God liveth and abideth forever. You know, there's something exciting, and this is the encouraging part that I want us to get to this evening. As we look at the Word of God, as we study the Word of God, this water, the Word of God, we find this, that it's living and it's abiding forever, meaning this, it's a living book. It's alive. It can speak to us. What direction we need. Someone says, you know, the Bible is ancient, it's old, and it's out of date. The reality is this, the Bible might have been written generations ago, thousands of years ago, and it might be an older book, but it's still alive. It's still profitable for us today. Just because it was written long ago, it doesn't mean that it's not for us and it's not good for us as Christians. We need the Word of God. It's alive. It's abiding forever. It never changes. You know, what's interesting is we come to this water gate, as we come to this gate, you know what's interesting is we come to this place, it does not need repair. Man didn't need to come and fix this gate. And as I thought about that and make application of that gate, you know, just like the Word of God does not need repaired. Man had to deal with the other gates and fix the other gates and deal with his problems with the other gate. But then we come to the water gate, and the water gate is not needed. And the Word of God is in no need of man's repair. It's not for man to decide what's right and what's wrong in the Word of God. The Word of God is God's Word, and it is profitable to us. It liveth and it abideth forever. It doesn't need man to determine and decide what's right and what's wrong. You know, we live in a society. It's a dangerous society that we're living in today, because much of society is trying to tell us that the Word of God is not profitable. You know, as I was studying for this message and praying, you know, for generations, it seemed like if you study history, you would find kings and you would find at times where they tried to burn, they tried to destroy the Word of God. If you were to study history, you would find where there were certain times where they tried to just get rid of the Word of God in every part of their society. You know, we study that and we think about that. And as I read those things, I think to myself, could you imagine living in a society where they saw no profit to the Word of God? Could you imagine you and I living in a society where they tried to get the Word of God out of our life? The reality is this, some of you might be thinking, isn't that what we're living in today? I just read yesterday that they put out 10 top books in the library that they think that we ought to get rid of in the libraries. There was one, this might even be wrong, but 50 Shades of Grey or 10 Shades of Grey or 15 Shades of Grey, but something, so many Shades of Grey they think we ought to get rid of. And I've never read the book, but I heard that's probably one that we ought to get rid of. But you know what the sad thing was on that same list? The Bible. How many of you saw that? The Bible ought to be taken out of libraries in America. As I think about that, you know, we've already taken them out of schools. We've already taken them out of society. We want to take them out of government. We want to ban the Bible. We want to ban the teaching of it. We want to ban now the reading of it. We don't believe, or we believe, but society is saying that it's not profitable, that it should not be in a library for someone to come and read. Can you believe how far society has come? I submit to you this evening that we live in a society that they're trying to ban the Word of God. They're trying to say it's not profitable to us. And we find that in 1 Peter 1:23, it ought to bring joy to our life to know this, that the Word of God, it liveth and abideth forever. And just like kings and dictators of old, it tried to destroy the Word of God. The reality is this, there is no government that can destroy the Word of God. There is no man that's going to destroy the Word of God. The Word of God says that it liveth and it abideth forever. And we can be sure that as we put our faith and we put our trust and we live upon the principles of the Word of God, that no man can destroy this book. It lives and it abides forever. You know, Christian, that ought to bring joy to the life of the Christian, knowing this, that what we believe in, what we teach, the things right now in our children's churches, in our Awana, in our teen group, and in our nurseries, you know what we're teaching our children? They're memorizing the Word of God. We're teaching them this, that they can believe in it, they can memorize it, they can live it. It's vitally important. And I believe this, there's a lot of things that happens at a church, but there's nothing more important that happens at a church than memorizing the Word of God, in hearing the Word of God preached, in living what the Word of God says. All the men's assaults upon the Word of God, it's left it unchanged and unharmed. For generations, people have tried to destroy the Word of God, and it's left it unchanged and unharmed. We have the Word of God today for us. Ephesians 5, 25 and 26, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by his word. Ephesians 5, 25 and 26 tells us that. The word of God, it cleanses us and it washes us. We're washed and cleansed by the word of God here in Ephesians 5. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all recorded Jesus himself saying in Matthew 24, verse number 35, in Mark 13, 31, in Luke 21, 33, it all says this, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. You see, as we come and we want to make application here in Nehemiah chapter number 3, verse 26, to that water gate, why is it that the water gate needed no repair? It's because the word of God needs no repair. Why is it that the locks and the doors and the bars there on the water gate didn't need to be repaired? I would submit to you this. If the water gate is a symbol, it's a symbol of the word of God. The reason why is man does not need to touch the word of God. Man does not need to change the word of God. The word of God is sufficient and it is right just exactly the way it is, because the Bible says it'll never pass away. It's always truth. We can depend upon it. You know, there's a lot of things in life that we depend upon that let us down. How many have ever been let down by someone or something in life? How many have been let down by something or someone that never should have let you down? And you get discouraged. And you say to yourself, that person never should have let me down. That never should have let me down there. That situation, that person, that friend never should have let me down. And that advice, it never should have let me down. But the reality is this, we've all been let down by something that we thought was right. How many of you ever invested something, your retirement or some finances, in something that someone told you was something good, only to find out it wasn't good? Anybody ever do that? Oh yeah, this is great. I hear it all the time. This is good. Someone your age, you need to invest in this. Every time I get my report, it shows the opposite. But no, don't worry, your age, it'll all come back. It doesn't always feel that way. It doesn't always feel right. Reality is sometimes advice I've been given, it isn't always right. But you know what? The word of God, it's always right. Christian, we are building our lives upon what the word of God says. We are raising our children based upon the word of God says. We are husbands and wives and we are our church members and we're Christians living a victorious Christian life based upon what the word of God says. And I want to submit this to you this evening. If you are living your life based upon the word of God, you will never be let down, because the word of God is always right. It's never wrong and it never will be wrong. It's truth that we can live upon. There's nothing else in life that we can say that. There's no other 100% guarantee in life other than the fact that you're going to die. But there's nothing that we can make decisions upon like the word of God, because it's true. It is God's word. And it doesn't need to be fixed. Kingdoms will rise and kingdoms will fall. Kings are going to rule and kings are going to die. Man's going to be born and man is going to die. Economies will starve and economies will go under and economies will rise. But rulers, they'll take charge and rulers are going to be defeated. But one thing that will live for all of eternity is the word of God. You see, the last couple weeks you've come and you've said, boy, he's preached on sin and preached on pride, but it doesn't always feel good. Tonight I want to preach a message to you, and I hope that it encourages tonight to know this, that we are building our church. We're building our homes. We're building our marriages. We're building our lives upon the word of God, and the word of God is never going to change. It's always right. Isn't it good to know that every day you can pick up the Word of God and you can read the Word of God and know this, whatever it says, it's true? Does that encourage you? I mean, just take the worst day of your life, you've got truth. When everything else around you seems like it's falling apart, you can pick up the Word of God and know this, it's true and it's never going to change. Number one, this evening I want us to write this down. The Word of God is eternal. The word of God is eternal. If we were to leave here with something this evening, we need to leave here with this thought that the word of God is eternal. I want you to turn with me to John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1, verse number 1. We're going to read we're going to read here together this evening. The Bible says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Isn't that good to know? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. That Word is Jesus Christ here. The Bible goes on to say this in verse number 2, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life that was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of that light. That light in the Word is the same, that all men through Him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Talking of John there, that was the true light, verse number 9, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, and the glory of as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness have all we received in grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. The Bible says this in John chapter 1, that Jesus is the Word. He's always been. He always will be. He is grace and He is truth. You know, when we come to the place in life where we start to hear that we were made from some slime that came out of the sea and all that came into existence because there was this big bang, and from this big bang, earth was created, and then this slime came out and became a monkey, and monkey became a man. You know, all of that is just ridiculous. Hey, how do you know that's ridiculous? Because the Word of God says it is. The Word of God gives us the truth. You know, we can find this to be true, that the Word was there in the beginning of time. The Word was there. Jesus Christ was there when God created. Matter of fact, the Bible says He helped create. He was there. He is God. He was one that created us. He is the Word of God. He is the light. He was there in the beginning of time. This is not something that is hopeful or wishful thinking. This is truth that we can build our lives upon. He always has been. He's perfect and He's true. This Word of God, it's perfect and it's true. He's the light that can never be put out. He shines in darkness. He's the fulfillment of God's redemptive plan for man. There's been nothing greater before Him, and there's never going to be anything greater after Him. This is Jesus Christ. And we find this, that the Word of God, the Word here in John chapter 1 is Christ, and He is eternal. Listen to me, Christian, we ought to get and enjoy the fact of this, that our salvation is in something real. It's in something truthful. It's not just religion. It's not just something that we hope in, that one day that we lived our life and this was the right way to live. We can know this is right. How do we know that salvation in Jesus Christ is the right way? Because the Word of God says it. How do we know that we can trust the Word of God? Because the Word of God is eternal. It's always been before mankind sinned. The Word of God existed. The Word of God is going to exist for all of eternity. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but the Word of God is going to remain. And we are putting our faith, we're putting our trust, we are putting everything we believe, our hope, in what the Word of God says. That ought to cause us to have great joy this evening. You know, I want to be sure that everything that I ever tell my children is right. I want to make sure that whatever they say, when they ask me advice, I want to give them right advice. But the reality is this, sometimes my advice isn't always right. Somebody asks me for advice, I want to make sure I give them good advice. But the reality is this, sometimes my advice is wrong because it's based upon limited information. Sometimes my advice is wrong because it's built upon my emotion. Sometimes advice or sometimes things that I want or hope, they're not correct. And it's not necessarily that I'm being untruthful. It's at that moment with all the information I have, with the emotion I'm feeling, I believe that maybe what I'm thinking is right. And you know what I find at times? I'm wrong. But you know, it's wonderful to know that my faith and trust in Jesus Christ is not built upon emotion. It's not built upon hoping this is the right one and this is the best of what the options are. No, this is the only option. The only option is Jesus Christ. I base that upon the fact that the Word of God is eternal. I can trust it. It's truthful. He's been there from the beginning of time. He always has been. He always will be. What the Word of God says is true, and I can believe it. That's why I don't have to wake up in the middle of the night scared, wondering where I'm going to spend eternity. Could you imagine if you lived day by day not knowing where you're going to spend eternity? Hoping that you worked enough to get saved. Hoping and in praying that you gave enough. Hoping that the waters of baptism when you're a child was enough to save you. Hoping what you're putting your faith in is enough. Not knowing the truth, but could you imagine living that life? Oh, Christian, listen to me this evening. We don't have to wake up in fear. We don't have to live a life of fear, hoping and wondering, is this right? We can have confidence that we are saved through Jesus Christ. How do we have that confidence? Because the Word of God is eternal. It's always right. It's always truth. It never fails. And I am putting my faith in something that is always true. It's eternal. Hebrews, turn to Hebrews with me, if you would please, this evening. Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to look in verse number 12. The Word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, into the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Number two this evening. Number one is the Word of God is eternal. Number two, the Word of God is powerful. It reveals the true heart of man. You know, church, sometimes we might come and we hear preaching against sin, and some might think, you know, why do we come to church to hear what we're doing wrong? I don't want to come to church in the society I live in. I don't want to come to church and hear that I'm a sinner. I don't want to come to church and hear that God is a God of judgment and God is a holy God. I want to hear that God is a God of love. I want to hear that everything's going to be okay. I want to hear that my life is okay. You know, a lot of people live in a world, they don't want to hear what the Word of God says because it doesn't make them feel good. And if you attend a church that only says that God is love and that everything's okay and you can do whatever you want to do, that's not right. We ought to enjoy a church. We ought to enjoy coming, even if it doesn't feel well, where toes get stepped on and the Word of God pierces us and convicts us when we're sinning and we're doing wrong. We ought to want to come to the house of God in opening up the Word of God. Maybe there in your devotion life, there opening the Word of God, hearing a message preached. It ought to convict us. It ought to show us things that we're doing wrong in our life. We shouldn't just be comfortable as Christians. We shouldn't be able to be comfortable in our sin. We ought to come to the house of God in the house because the Word of God is powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's quick. It ought to show us things in our life that need to change. It's what the Word of God does. And we live in this society anymore that man wants to choose what's right and wrong. This whole issue in our country today with which bathroom are we going to use? How ridiculous is this? You say, well, which one should we use? Well, let's go to the Word of God. The Bible says this, He made male and He made female. He made man and He made woman. God had it all figured out. The only reason there's confusion is because man doesn't like what God has to say. And because of perversion and wickedness of sin, trying to reject what the Word of God says. God didn't make a mistake. He knows what He did. He made you man or He made you woman. And that determines which room you go into. Oh, now there's perversion and there's a sick society that wants to rebel against the Word of God. And now we say, you know what? I don't know if I want to be what God made me. I think I just want to decide what I want to be. And that's sin. The Word of God is powerful. It's discouraging too to see Christians say, you know, let's not fight battles. Let's just all love. And listen to me, I think we ought to love the sinner. We're all sinners saved by grace if you're saved. We should love the sinner. The house of God should be a place where people are welcome to come in. But if a person can come in their sin and never change and never feel convicted, I wonder, are they in the house of God? Are they hearing preaching from the Word of God? I don't believe Christian, even though I believe that we ought to love, we ought to love the sinner, but we can't love the sin. We can't compromise. You know, I fear the nation that I'm living in, the one that our children are going to grow up in. Some of the things that are changing before our eyes, our youngest children, it's all going to be changed by the time they get old enough to recognize, and it's going to be natural to them. And I want our children, and our children ought as they're being raised in godly Christian homes, be able to decide that even though society says this is okay, even though society says this is right, that the Word of God says it's wrong, and I'm going to stand upon the Word of God. Listen to me, the Word of God is powerful. This book, that old saying, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Christian, you can't live a life of sin and convince anyone that you're in the Word of God and the Word of God is speaking to you. When you're in the Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is sharp. The Word of God is quick. The Word of God is even to the dividing sunder of the soul and spirit. It's going to tell you what's right and what's wrong. When you get in the Word of God and you truly in the Word of God, you can't stand to sin because the Word of God is going to convict you. It's powerful. The writer of Hebrews says that the book is quick, powerful, sharp, and it cuts right to the soul. It discerns truth from lies. See, how do I know? How do I know with what's happening in society? How do we really know if it's right or wrong? Because the Word of God decides what's right or wrong. How do we know? How do we know if this lifestyle is right or wrong? Because the Word of God decides if it's right or wrong. How do we know? How do we know if these issues are right or wrong? Because the Word of God decides if they're right or wrong. You know, the interesting thing is this. Many things that are happening in our political system right now, they're not about politics. It's about morals. It's not for politicians. It's not for judges. It's not for people that we elect to decide what is right or biblically right or wrong. God's already decided it. His Word is powerful. It discerns truth from lie. It discerns our ways from God's way. It discerns heaven from hell. It discerns good from bad. It discerns righteousness from evil. When the Word of God is read, it sets the standard. It declares the truth. The Word of God is our final authority. It's the banner that we wave, for the Word of God is powerful. The Word of God decides what the truth is. The Word of God decides what the standard is. The Word of God decides. We open the Word of God up as we're raising our children, as we're married, as we're looking on what decisions do I make? What is right or wrong? What do I believe? The Word of God is our standard. Most dangerous thing to do is get around a bunch of people and decide what you believe and what you don't believe. The reason why is somebody might convince you that what they believe is right. You know what? I believe this. Let's open up the Word of God, and the Word of God is our standard. The Word of God is our rule. And if the Word of God says it, it's powerful, it's right, it's truth. If the Word of God says it, then we must believe it. It can speak to the most sinful man. It can speak to the most sinful human being. It can save the most vilest of sinners. It can give hope to the hopeless. You know, it's interesting. I've seen people saved that you think they're never going to get saved. When I first got in the ministry, we were told this: if you want to preach, go find a jail, go find a nursing home, go find a street corner, just preach. But the pastor I first started working for, as youth pastor, he told us this. He said, now listen, this is the pulpit God gave me. Because every once in a while, his staff would say, I want to preach. Why don't you give me an opportunity to preach? He says, you have an opportunity to preach wherever you want to preach. Prisons and jails and... So we started going into the jails and preaching. And we'd see people come into this jail, and most of the time it was a minimum security prison there. And then one night we got in there, and they said, we're going to put you in a maximum security prison. These are the guys with the red suits on. And I said, well, what kind of things did they do bad? And they started telling us. And I said, I think we'll stay outside this glass. We don't want to go inside there. They said, no, you got to go in there, and there'll be a guard in there. And so they had a guard in the back there, and they filled this room up with these guys in these red suits. And the red suits meant they were real bad. And I'll never forget how nervous I was. And I don't even remember what I preached that night. And I don't even know if I even preached. I might have just looked scared the whole time. I have no idea. But obviously something was said. And at the end of that service, most, if not all, of those men raised their hand and said, I need to be saved. I mean, these are guys that you would have figured, no way. No way could any of these people be saved. And I'll never forget that night when those men bowed their head and out loud prayed that sinner's prayer and trusted Christ as their Savior. I'll never forget that night, that feeling of, you know what? It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't determine what I think if someone gets saved or not. The Holy Spirit of God, they can save the most vile of sinners. They can save the most, He can save the most wickedest of person. We, through the Word of God, it's powerful. When the Word of God is preached, it doesn't matter what you think. The Word of God, when it's preached and the Holy Spirit of God works, it could save even the ones you think could never be saved, because the Word of God is powerful. It's powerful. I'll never forget some of those men after they started coming out of the jail ministry, they started coming to church. And that was interesting. I said to the pastor there that I was a youth pastor for, I said, you told me to go preach there. That's why they're coming. We started getting a lot of these men when they would get out to start coming to church, and it was interesting because they didn't look like us. They didn't know Amazing Grace. They didn't understand how church worked. They just came to church because they wanted more of the Word of God. It's so exciting to see someone saved and get hungry for the Word of God and the Word of God start to change their life. There's a fella now that's pastoring a church there in Pennsylvania, and he was one messed up dude. He was messed up. He was, my father-in-law, I think, knew him when he was in high school, and he was just, I mean, strung out on drugs and just messed up. Life is just messed up. And God gloriously saved him. I mean, this is somebody that you would have looked at and said, they're never going to get saved. That there's no way this person would get saved. And what at one point they sat under the preaching of the Word of God, and the Word of God was powerful and the Word of God was sharp. And that person that was sitting there that you thought would never get saved, they got gloriously saved because the Word of God still is powerful. That man pastors a church now in Pennsylvania, and I see pictures every once in a while he posts, and his church auditorium is filled. And I wonder to myself, there was a time where someone would have saw that man and said, there's no way that person would get saved. I don't even know if it's worth witnessing to that man. My father-in-law was in his 20s or so, I believe, mid-20s or so, when somebody gave him a gospel tract and someone at work was witnessing to him, and he wasn't one that you would think that would ever get saved. He was a good Catholic altar boy. I mean, he never went to a Catholic church, but he was a good Catholic altar boy, you know, growing up, went through Catholic school growing up, and very religious, but lived a wicked life. But somebody gave him a gospel tract. He read that gospel tract, the Word of God that was printed there on that track, hit him right in the heart. It was powerful. It was sharp. It pierced him, and he saw that he was a sinner and that he needed to be saved. And I'm so glad. I am so glad that he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior, because I don't believe I ever would have met my wife in church if it wasn't for the fact that my mother-in-law and father-in-law were saved. What I'm saying tonight is the Word of God is powerful. It's sharp. It brings hope. It brings conviction. It's profitable to help us. We come to this gate, the water gate. Water in the Bible is a symbol of the Word of God. No wonder the water gate didn't need repaired, because there's nothing wrong with the Word of God. No wonder when we read the other gates, it says the locks were repaired and the gates were repaired and the bars were repaired and the walls were repaired. But then we come to the water gate and nothing happened. It just mentioned, there was no repair mentioned. It just mentions the water gate. The reason why is because we hold in our hand the Word of God, and there's nothing man can do to improve upon it. There's nothing man needs to do to fix it. It is God's Word. It is what we build our life upon. If it says it, it's true, it's trustworthy, and it's powerful, and it saves souls. Aren't you so glad that you have the Word of God this evening? I look at Pastor Oscar back there. Aren't you so glad for the Word of God? It changed his life. It changed your life. The world is spiraling out of control. We leave here tonight, though, with truth that we can depend upon and we can live upon. Marriages all around are following apart. But you know what? I've got a manual. I've got the Word of God that I can be the godly husband I need to be. I can love my wife the way I'm supposed to love my wife. I can be what I need to be to my family. I could be the type of Christian that God desires me. How can I do that? Because I have the Word of God. And it's eternal, and it's powerful. And it's what I need to live every day of my life. The water gate. No repair needed.